Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in to our daily editorial. We have an interesting situation at the polls, all of the polls. Number one, two states are obviously way, way behind, that being Nevada and that being Arizona. But more Republicans by a very large margin have voted as opposed to Democrats. But we still don't have the go-ahead to be able to say that we not only have the House, which we have, but we also have the Senate. My guess is, from seeing a couple of interviews last night with Carrie Lake, that my guess is that we probably will get the Senate also. Jimmy, what do you think?
Yeah, so the three outstanding races, Georgia, and that's Walker and Warnock, and that one's going to be a runoff in December.
In when?
December.
Yeah.
So it'll be a few weeks.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened in the 2020 elections.
Yeah.
The other races will be in Arizona, Blake Masters and Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake is just a few thousand votes behind.
Yeah.
But the recount of the ballot, or the first count of the ballots that didn't go through the machines, were primarily in heavily Republican areas. So the probability is she's going to win, and that could carry Blake Masters over the top against Kelly. And that advantage, all the data looks like that they will, that at least Carrie Lake will win as governor, and then Blake Masters will be very close with Kelly, Mark Kelly, as Senate. And then Adam Laxalt is ahead in the count, but once again, Nevada is way behind.
Yeah.
So Arizona and Nevada, absolute disaster in their election counting right now.
Yeah.
And their Clark County and Maricopa County, both, you know, Clark County in Nevada, Maricopa County in Arizona.
Yeah.
Both run by Democrats.
Yes, they are.
Both very questionable actions in 2020.
Yeah.
And very questionable actions this time around as well.
Well, what I find to be interesting, I'm looking at CFP right now, Citizen Free Press, and Warnock spent $13.2 million on his campaign, as opposed to Walker, who spent roughly 25% of that.
And so, yeah, actually, it's 132, not 13.2.
I can't see
$132 million.
Yeah.
So Herschel Walker, and what's happening now is the Republicans realize, remember, Mitch McConnell and the Senate Election Committee never liked Herschel Walker as a candidate.
Yeah.
And they undermined him publicly. Mitch McConnell undermined Herschel Walker publicly.
Uh-huh.
But what they're realizing now is that was a huge mistake. They're going to have to really jump on board and push him over the top.
Yeah.
So there's been a tremendous amount of funding coming in, actually the highest one-day total in the Walker campaign yesterday for funding for this next election. And you're going to see the entire apparatus jump on board to try to turn this in order to protect.
I just read an article on CFP about that. Having said that, it looks like Katie Hobbs might be in trouble too.
Yeah, we definitely think, I think Katie Hobbs is going to have a very difficult time. It looks like the Attorney General, Finchem, in Arizona, if you get Finchem and Carrie Lake, Governor Carrie Lake and Attorney General Finchem, they are going to dig through and fix this election disaster that they've had once again, and Arizona will probably look more like Florida in the next election.
Well, that's what Carrie Lake was saying last night. I watched her on the news on three different occasions, interviewed by Fox pundits, and it was very interesting. She stressed that. She said, my first priority is to get the election situation changed. And she said, I'm counting on winning because I just know what the direction of the ballots are. So if we get Arizona, and if we get, do we have to get both Arizona and Nevada to get the Senate?
If they take Arizona and Nevada, That will give him 51. And if Walker won in Georgia, that would be 52.
So basically, we're talking about the future of this country boiling down to three races.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how they turn out, especially since very few people can trust the system right now.
Yeah. You got an opinion on how it's going to turn out?
Well, I do think Laxalt is going to take Nevada. Yeah. The numbers look strong for him. Blake Masters, that's a tough one. He, you know, basically the Libertarian who was taking ballots from him backed out of the race, but it was a little bit late because there were a lot of mail-ins already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but again, he may surge because of these last, you know, same-day voters, and Republicans usually vote same day because they don't trust the mail-in.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. If they both win, then it really takes the pressure off Walker because that's a 51-49 lead in or 51-48, and then, you know, Walker could make it. So my guess is that there's going to be a tremendous push for Walker. I think Brian Kemp's going to get involved. I'll bet you Ron DeSantis gets involved. I'll bet you Trump still gets involved to get his people on board.
Yeah.
In spite of this constant attack from the mainstream media and Republican conservative leadership that really don't like Trump disruption.
Yeah, they really don't.
They're attacking him relentlessly and blaming him for something that's actually primarily the fault of the Rhino Republicans who didn't want to support these candidates.
Yeah.
Mehmet Oz, the Republican committee did not want to support him because he was a Trump nominee.
Yeah.
Masters, they didn't want to, you know, as a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Masters was a strong Trump supporter. And what the way I look at this, Alan, I'm trying to look behind the politics, what's going on behind the scenes. Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy, they wanted majorities, but they wanted small majorities without people that would be attacking them.
Yeah.
And so they spent money and provided support in ways to undermine Trump candidates. I mean, and they actively undermine Trump candidates. Yeah. No question about it.
Give me some examples, Jimmy, would you?
Let's go with Joe Kent in Washington State.
Okay.
In a very strong, you know, county, Republican county, they actually had a more conservative candidate that knew they couldn't win to undermine Joe Kent's candidacy in the primary so that Jamie Herrera Butler would win that. But Joe Kent overcame that anyway. And then they didn't provide any support to him from the national committee. When they didn't provide any support, that means right now a Democrat might take that seat. It's close.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one example. Again, Blake Masters, they pulled money from Blake Masters. They were not committed with Oz. A number of these candidates that were Trump, when I say Trump, I want to say America First type candidates.
Yeah, yeah.
That is absolutely threatening to the Republican uniparty establishment in D.C. Hmm. And this is the other thing that I look at. And I actually put a little comment today. You know, Jerry on the blog this morning had a good little comment. I just responded to him.
Yeah.
That, you know, the left did a tremendous job at pushing, quote, the election denier. And that's through the media, you know, screaming and yelling. That was a campaign slogan for the DNC. And, of course, every media pundit, every writer, you know, used that same dialogue to kind of intimidate people.
Yeah.
They used the insurrection January 6th thing to intimidate people. And then they used social justice as a narrative to try to influence and shape people, and of course the abortion for a very small group of people mattered. And what they did is they forced the Republican leaders to fall for that, and the Republican leadership, and this McConnell, McCarthy, Ron and McDaniel, some of the conventional wisdom inside the corrupt Republican Party, actually bowed down to that pressure from the media. The guy that didn't was Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, no, he didn't, no.
And Kerry Lake didn't do that. And they won. In fact, most of the candidates that never, you know, backed down and didn't walk the middle lane, they actually won. It's the ones that were trying to...
I don't think Kerry Lake has officially won yet.
No, but a lot of the candidates, that didn't do, you know, that acted like Ron DeSantis, that were bold and straight up right from the beginning,
right,
they won. Trump endorsed over 400 candidates, and about 80% of them won. But Oz and Walker, and of course Lake at this point, because we don't have a final on it, those are the big media follows. And so the media is screaming and yelling, oh, Trump failed so badly. Well, that's not really true.
No, it's not.
And it's a huge mistake to think that. Now, Trump has some problems, right? Trump,
yeah, sure he does.
Trump has to get off the COVID jab thing.
Yeah.
Thinking that that was, I mean, what he did to mobilize the system was fantastic, but he was played with it, you know, played by Fauci, by Burks, by Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And he's got to admit that and accept that and say, you know what, I did my best and really worked hard to, you know, change, to put together all aspects of government with public policy and with, you know, civilian industry in order to answer a problem. I didn't realize that I was tricked in it. And then he has to go after Big Pharma. And if he doesn't do that, that's going to be a problem for him, in my view. The other thing that he's got to do is he's got to quit attacking friends. And a lot of it is the media spins it to make it look worse than it is. And immediately people respond like they have for the last 4 or 5, 6 years, blaming Trump for a comment that was taken out of context and, you know, trying to sow division. And that's what's absolutely going on right now with the left, is they're scared to death that Trump's going to run again, that he will be unbeatable. And so they're doing everything they can to paint him as a failure. CNN, MSNBC. And, you know, it's interesting because if he doesn't realize that and play this better, he will split the party pretty negatively. But I will just remind you, this is nothing new than nothing new from what's happened since 2015.
Yeah.
It's just he's gained more ground and more support than he had before. And he definitely has an advantage. And like I say, he's got a lot of weaknesses, but at the ability to swing the axe and cut down the dead trees is really, he has the advantage there, in my view.
Let me ask you a question, Jimmy. I'm looking at a headline right now that says Dems near victory in Arizona race. That's not what I heard last night.
Yeah, no, so again, right now they're leading by a small amount. That amount should change because of the demographics of the areas that they're having to hand count ballots.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, my guess is that's probably on a Drudge type of a report, because they're really going after Trump. The establishment Republicans, the big money Republicans that really like the corporate control, are scared to death of America First candidates, and particularly Donald Trump.
Interesting. I'm on Citizens Free Press right now, and it's totally a different atmosphere than you have on Drudge. There's no question about that. Now, here's a headline that I'd like to get your opinion on. Every ballot going forward is going to be a bloodbath for Katie Hobbs.
Yeah, that's basically what Carrie Lake is arguing. And again, because of the different areas that were shut down with the printer issue, she's probably accurate. And we'll see, because a lot of things have changed. We saw a lot of crazy things happen last, you know, in 2020. So I want to be optimistic, but at the same time, I'm going to be realistic that there is so much corruption going on. And this whole thing in Maricopa County with the printers affecting what, you know, they say 17,000 ballots. We have no idea how accurate that is.
Yeah.
We have no idea how accurate their counting is. We have no idea how accurate the voting machines are, because we've got evidence that they've been absolutely ridiculously wrong in numerous cases.
If I'm not mistaken, they're doing hand counts right now, aren't they?
They had to hand count these ballots because they wouldn't take them in the tabulators.
Yeah.
On election day.
Right. Well, when do you think we're going to know what's going on, Jim? I mean, you think it's going to take through the weekend?
I think it'll take at least through Friday or Saturday.
Do you? And
my guess is that when the numbers come out for Carrie Lake, if she's in the advantage, they're going to want to dump that on a Friday so that the press cycles down.
Yeah.
If it looks like, you know, Katie Hobbs is going to go ahead and take it, they'll wait till Monday to really, you know, energize the media left.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're
thinking, they'll want to have the whole week to harp on that.
So you're thinking that Katie Hobbs really is playing a very important role in the outcome of the Senate?
Well, no, I'm just talking about for the governor's race and then how the media will spin it for Arizona.
I understand that, but I'm just saying Katie Hobbs, from what you just said, whether she wins or loses is critical. Really, in the sense that more votes for the Democrat for the Republican Party would come if she lost.
Well, yeah. If she loses, then it's definitely going to have an impact on Blake Masters.
Yeah,
he should get more votes out of that.
If she loses,
but he's got a bigger gap than Carrie Lake does from Hobbs. We'll see. Again, the whole system right now is up. You know, very questionable.
Yeah.
And
it could boil down to, I mean, if Herschel Walker versus this other guy who is not supposedly a very good human being, that race isn't going to happen until December 6th. So we could not know about the Senate realistically until that time.
Right.
Although I don't, my guess is it's probably really not going to just come down to one seat. What do you think?
I think there'll probably be a two-seat advantage, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll know a little bit today. I am all over this. Jimmy, if anything happens between, I've got a doctor's appointment at about 5:30. If anything happens between now and, let's say, 5:15, I'm going to give you a call.
Yeah, okay. And, hey, I did want to follow up with one bit of very interesting information.
Do it.
So, when you're looking, we looked at those overall 52% of the country voted Republican versus 46%. So a 6% gap higher for Republicans nationally than Democrats.
Right.
But the way the election engineering goes, and this is a lot of people don't understand how these precincts works and how many, you know, it's only a couple of votes in each precinct that makes the difference usually for these elections, except for in really clear red or really clear blue areas.
Yeah, yeah.
So the engineering, the actual vote harvesting, the getting people out, that is critical. The Democrats are much stronger at that.
Yeah.
And the one area, so in all categories of voters, and this is, there are, you know, basically some polling done.
Yeah.
For male married Republicans,
female
married Republicans, single males, they voted overwhelmingly for Republicans.
Right.
The one group that flipped were single, over 60% voted Democrat, which means very successful TikTok campaigns, social media campaigns by the Democrats on the abortion issue that appeals to those single white women.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
and that is, I think, a very important thing to understand.
Yeah,
when we go forward in 2024.
Yeah,
how to target and how to look at those particular groups, and basically, you know, call them out.
Yeah,
you know, these people are trying to. Do you feel good about, you know, murdering a young child, a baby?
Right.
You
know? Right.
And I don't know. There's got to be some ways to address that.
Well,
the Republicans got to look very deeply into it.
I'm sure that they will. I think that the campaigns are going to be a lot more focused and of a lot higher quality in 2024, quite frankly. I really do.
We'll see if Mitch McConnell and the Uniparty, you know, cowardly rhino leadership continue to control. We're not going to see much happen at all.
Yeah.
I would like to see a very big change for people that understand the importance of what's going on right now.
Yeah,
and ultimately, these guys, they're so used to the way the system works, they do not understand the battle that the nation is in.
Yeah. Well, we're in a huge battle. Jim, I appreciate your time. We started a little bit late this morning, but I'll get this up before noon, which is 3 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.